continue our series on wisdom, and the characteristic that we're going to look at today is gentleness, or being gentle. So let's go to James chapter 3 this morning, and I'll read the whole passage beginning in verse 13. Verse 13, James 3, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for the day that we have today and for the opportunity we get to have as we meet together. And as we consider this portion of Scripture and we consider gentleness, Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts so we can get a good understanding of the teachings that we find not only here but throughout the Scriptures as we look at this Word. And Lord, I pray we can find some teachings we can apply to our heart today. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you work amongst us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have just two, I guess say, notes, so to speak, or 2 points. So I'm going to talk first about the definition of gentle, and then we'll describe it. And in that description, we'll have 3 thoughts for you. But as far as the definition of gentle, we'll get into that here in a minute. But when I think of gentleness, there are many things that come to mind, and perhaps you do too when you hear that word gentle. But for the most part, harmless always comes to my mind. Something that is harmless, whether it's a gentle creature or gentle words or someone acting in a gentle manner. Always something or someone that is harmless, without harm of any sort. And so this morning we're going to see that this word gentle, it covers that, but it covers other areas as well. And we'll see that. So let's consider wisdom from above, okay, because that's what produces this gentle behavior and this gentle attitude. So let's get into the definition first this morning. The definition, I'll give you Webster's definition first. Basically, Webster's definition of gentle is to be mild, not rough, not harsh or severe. And then it gives others, it says, as a gentle nature, a gentle temper or gentle disposition, a gentle manner, gentle address, or even a gentle voice. It means to treat with mildness and not be treated with violence. It's the opposite of severe is what gentleness is, the opposite of severe. And here's the implication now of this word. It implies really moderation is what it implies. Not given to extremes of any sort. Gentle, not harsh, not severe, and not rough of any kind at all. You know, the word is found elsewhere. And I want to take you over to where it's used in the Bible. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Titus chapter 3, and let's look at verse 2 and see what it says here. It says, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Notice what it says there. The difference says, don't be a brawler, but be gentle. So I think we can get a good picture there. Someone who is a brawler is someone who is violent, or someone who is fighting and someone who is attacking. A brawler is someone that is violent, whether it's with words or with their physical. And here in this passage, gentle is the opposite of that. So we get a good picture of what gentle is here, a good description of gentle as far as the definition. And then if you want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Servants," he's talking to servants here, he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Notice he used the word gentle here with a master who was good. In other words, they were probably kind, they were caring, they were right, they were honest. They did things the correct way, and he says good and gentle. In other words, they weren't severe, they weren't rough, they weren't harsh. That gives us another good I guess, a picture of this word gentle. Now, 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 3, the word's used in the Greek, but it's translated here. I'll read it to you. It says here, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we find it here in our English translation. They translated it into patient, but it says here, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous. Now that word patient is the same word as you'll find in the Greek, and it means gentle, but it's a correct translation because that word itself means to be patient, as we'll see here in a little bit, and to wait. So here's the description now, okay? That's the definition, and we get a good picture from the Bible what this is. Now, let's get into the message part here this morning, because I want to give you three thoughts on the description of gentleness and being gentle, and how not only we should have this in our life, but we're going to see this morning how Christ displayed it in His life. You know, when you read through the Scriptures, I can find a lot of people that were not gentle, all right? We're going through a whole book of Kings, and there are going to be a lot of rough and severe and harsh kings and queens, but you don't find a whole lot of people who were gentle, yet Christ, it's the opposite. You don't find any severity or harshness. You find nothing but gentleness. And so we'll talk about that as we go through this. So to begin with, as far as being gentle, it means someone who is not impulsive. That's what I want to start with. Someone who is not impulsive. Okay? You see, someone that is gentle is not rash or impulsive. They do not make quick judgments about people. In other words, they don't look and say, well, that person's like this because of the clothes they wear. Or that person's like this because of the way they look. Or we can even make a judgment based upon one word sometimes. And we can assume something about somebody based upon one thing they said. And we can assume other things about them. Well, that's not gentle. That's actually harsh. And that's severe is what that is. Being very critical of somebody. See, someone who is gentle is not going to make quick judgments about people. In other words, they're going to wait and determine based upon facts. Upon what they see, not upon what someone else has said. You see, that's something that is gentle, something that is not harsh or severe towards others. Also, someone that is gentle is not going to give quick answers. Okay, they're not going to be impulsive. They're not going to give a quick answer to something. They're going to choose their words wisely. And by the way, we should choose our words wisely. You know, once you say something, you can't get it back. You can apologize for it. You can ask someone to forgive you. But once it's said, it's out there. It's done. And you can't have that back. You know, some people live by the motto, you know, if you think it, say it. I don't think that's a good motto. I think it's a foolish motto because you can do a lot of damage with words. And so we must be careful with our words. Someone who is gentle is not quick just to speak. They're going to think things through. They're going to choose their words wisely. You know, Abraham Lincoln, the late president, he's the one, there are others who are kind of credited also with this, but he's the one that's credited with this quote. He said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt." You know, sometimes if we don't have gentleness, then we're going to appear foolish. But gentleness will allow us to speak correctly and choose our words wisely. Another thing about impulsive behavior and gentleness is someone who is gentle is not going to make quick decisions. Now, of course, you might have to make a decision fast. What I mean by a quick decision, you're not going to make a hasty decision. You may be pressed to make some decisions, whether it's at work or just in your personal life. There may be times you're going to be pressed to, hey, you've got to have this decision done by, you got a yes or no by the end of the day, or even yes or no within 5 minutes sometimes. Well, you're going to give the decision, but it's not going to be hasty. You know, even if you have to give a decision within a few seconds, you have time to ask God to give you some wisdom and help you. And so someone who is gentle is not going to make quick decisions. Instead, you know, someone who is gentle, in other words, they're not impulsive, they're going to think things through. Consider the consequences of those decisions. You see, part of being gentle is understanding. Hey, if I make this decision, it might be good for me, but it might not be good for somebody else. I might be all right, but my family might be hurt by this. And I'm not going to be harsh and severe upon my family. I'm going to be gentle and make sure I make a right decision. So that way they're blessed as well, not just me, not just what I want. And so part of being gentle is not making impulsive, quick decisions. You're going to slow down. You're going to do what's right. You're going to do what's right before the Lord because you want to please God and glorify the Lord. See, that's part of being gentle. Now, let's turn over to the book of John. Let me give you an example of Jesus Christ, okay? And let's look as far as Him not being impulsive. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll begin reading here in John 6. And it says here in verse, this is right after the miracle, one of the miracles of the feeding of the multitude. And it says here in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Notice what we find here. Okay? Christ understood the situation. This would have been an impulsive act, is what it would have been. See, he performed a miracle. He blessed them with this food. And what did they want to do? I don't necessarily think that they were bad motive. They were reacting. They wanted to make him king. They were excited. He was here. Now, the Jews were looking for a king, and they believed the Messiah was going to establish his kingdom. Now, he will. Jesus Christ will. It just wasn't at the time. And so what they did is they got excited, and they said, he's king. And Jesus understood that they were about ready to make him king. In other words, they were going to exalt him. They were going to put him in place of king. They were going to lift him up. And he said, it's not time yet. See, had he followed the pressure of the people, he would have been impulsive. Had he went that direction, what everyone else wanted, he would have been impulsive and would have went away from what God had for him. You see, what we find here is Jesus was able to step back and in a gentle manner say, no, just move on. And folks, that's what gentleness is. It's not impulsive. It's able to look at a situation and do what is right in the correct way. And be moderate, not going to the extreme or not following the extreme. Now, part of impulsiveness, that's part of something we deal with every day. That's why, you know, you go to the grocery store, they have all that stuff right before you check out, where they call it the impulse section there. You might not need it, but all of a sudden you see it, you think you need it. And that's the goal, is to get someone to purchase something real quick. And that happens in other areas of life too. People try to get reactions or try to get you to make quick decisions. Well, being gentle is being willing to be moderate and be patient and slowing down. So that's what we find here. Instead of the Lord following the whims of the world or the pressures of the people, he did what was right. And so that's what gentleness will do. It allows us to do what is right. Number two, gentleness is not impatient. Okay, it's not impatient. You know, in 1 Timothy, that was how the gentle was translated into patience, because it means moderate. And so gentleness is not impatient. You see, someone that is gentle is willing to wait. Someone who's not gentle is going to say, I want it now. I don't care what you think, I want it. Give it to me now, right away, even if it means someone else is hurt or harmed. You see, that's harsh, that's severe. That's not gentle. Gentle is saying, I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait for the right time, and I'm willing to wait for the right way. Now, here's some thoughts on gentleness, not being impatient. First, not impatient with circumstances. Okay, circumstances. Someone who's gentle will understand that things will not always go their way. Okay? And if things do not go their way, they continue on. They don't throw a temper tantrum. They don't quit on everything or everybody else. They don't say, oh, forget all you people, I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, they understand that that's the way God has determined or allowed or permitted, and they go forward. And they trust in the Lord. They look to God. You see, they're patient, they're moderate, they're gentle is basically what they are. They're not harsh, they're not severe, saying it has to be this way, it has to be my way, it has to be what I want, and it has to be right now. No, they're patient with the way the Lord has allowed things to work out. Also, they don't fall apart. Because the wisdom, that's what we're talking about here, it's the wisdom from above. They don't fall apart when things don't go the way, because the wisdom from above continues to direct their steps. They continue to look to God. And they're able to be gentle during difficult times. You know, that's a test, loved ones. That's a test. When things don't go your way, or you don't get what you want, I tell you, it's easy to get grumpy. It's easy to get cantankerous. It's easy to be short with people. It's easy to be upset at others. It's easy, even those who didn't even harm you or even weren't even did anything, it's easy to treat them incorrectly because you're severe, you're angry. That's not gentle. See, gentleness understands, hey, things aren't going to go my way, but I'm going to wait. God has a plan. And I'm going to go forward with the Lord, trusting in Him. So, people who are gentle are patient in circumstances. Also, they're patient with people. Now, this is a hard one sometimes. Patient with people. We got to be patient with others. And those that are gentle are patient with people. In other words, other people don't have to align with their ways, their opinions, or their views. I'm going to say that again. Others don't have to align with their ways, their opinions, or their views. You see, people can disagree. And people who are gentle understand that, and they respect that. Let me give you a couple thoughts. First, someone who is gentle can have a discussion without fighting. And that's the way it should be, folks. We should be able to discuss without having a fight. We should be able to talk about things without having a fight. And someone who is gentle is able to do that. Also, someone who is gentle can have someone disagree with them, and they can still be friendly to them. See, that's gentleness. Not harsh, not severe, not critical. In other words, oh, they disagree with me. Oh, they're completely wrong. Forget them. Well, even if you're right, you can still be friendly to them. Still respect them as a person. Still treat them respect. Still love them. Still care for them. You see, the world is opposite, by the way. And we're seeing that today in our world today. We're seeing that. If someone doesn't agree with the world, what's happening? In some cases, they're being labeled as wrong, incorrect. Their lives being ruined or destroyed. Why? Because they disagreed with somebody. Folks, someone who's gentle can have someone disagree with them and say, okay, that's fine. That's your freedom. That's your right. You can disagree. We can still be friends. I might not agree with you. I might not come join you in the direction you're going, but I can still care for you. We can still talk. We can still be friends. Why? Because that's what gentleness does. Gentleness is not harsh. It's not severe. It's not critical, but it's gentle. And so that's what we find here. People who are gentle are patient with others. They're patient with them. Let me give you an example of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 33 to start here. Mark chapter 9. And we're going to look at Jesus Christ and His example. His example of being patient with others, being gentle with them. Mark chapter 9, verse 33 says, "And He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them," He's talking to His apostles, "He asked them, 'What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.' And He took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when He had taken him in His arms, He said unto them, 'Whosoever shall receive one of such children in My name receiveth Me. And whosoever shall receive Me receiveth not Me, but him that sent Me.'" Now this morning, I'm not going to go through this passage and do an expository study of this passage. Here's the point I want to make to you from this passage, is notice how Jesus Christ handled this in a very gentle manner. Okay? First, there was no tongue lashing. All right? And He could have done that. They had disputed. Now, when you read about the apostles, folks, some of these men had strong opinions. I can guarantee you that. You're talking a man who was, well, you have Matthew, who was a tax collector, working for the Roman government for most of his life. Some of them may have wondered, why in the world is he an apostle? And then you have other men like Judas and some of these others who were the other side, the other extreme. You know, that'd be like today putting a far left Democrat and a far right Republican together and saying, hey, you know, come together, let's work together. You see, you had all these different backgrounds that people were saved and they came together now. Now, here you have this group working together, and I guarantee some of those opinions were still there. And we find in this case, they're disputing among themselves who's going to be the greatest. I can imagine Peter is probably part of this conversation. He seemed to be part of every conversation, so I'm sure he was speaking. And I'm sure James and John, both those men were outspoken at times. So they're disputing, they're arguing. Who knows, maybe it got heated. Maybe they said some words they regretted. Well, what we find is Christ knew about it. And when he gets there, he looks at him and says, what were you disputing about? They did the same thing I think I would do. I didn't say nothing at all. Just say, okay. Notice what he did, though. He taught them a lesson in a gentle manner. He didn't go and berate them. He didn't go and humiliate them in public, which he could have done. He could have humiliated them in front of everybody. Their families were probably traveling with him. He didn't do that. Instead, he took the time to teach them in a very gentle manner. And he did with children. You know, he made the point very clear, and they understood it. And not only was the point made to them, but the point's made for all generations because it's in the Scripture. But what we find is a gentle response to the situation. And folks, someone who is gentle is going to be patient with others. Parents, I tell you, it's easy to react and just speak right away. But we have to slow down and be gentle in the way we deal with children. Husbands and wives, same thing. Got to be gentle in the relationship. Whether it's parents and children or even the other way, children with parents that are older, you got to be gentle. All relationships, it's best to have this attitude and this strength of being gentle, and the Lord will bless. And so what we find here is they were rebuked gently. Okay, they were even rebuked gently. And so Jesus Christ gave us an example of how to handle a situation without being harsh, severe, or critical, but being gentle. And that's what gentleness does. Number three, gentleness is not injurious. That's the one I would think of most, injuring people. Injurious. In other words, it's not harmful and doesn't hurt others. Someone that is gentle does not hurt somebody else. And that's what I think of when I think of gentle for the most part. I think of something that is not harmful in any way. And so that's what we find with gentleness. Let me give you a few ways or a few thoughts on this. First, someone who is gentle is not quick-tempered or given to fits of anger. In other words, they don't just explode on people with their verbal or even their physical. They don't just explode. They're gentle. They're gentle. And you know, I've heard two things. I've heard some say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you want to be. That's the way you choose to be. Because you know what? With the power of the Spirit, you can do things right. And what we find here is someone who is gentle is not quick-tempered. They're not harsh. They're not severe. In other words, their words will not harm others. They'll use their words wisely. And if they have to rebuke somebody, they'll use it in a correct way. They'll use their words correctly. And someone who is not harsh will do that. Here's some ways that we can misuse our words as far as not being gentle. We can slander somebody else. That's not gentle. That's harsh. We're in a voting season. You know, that's one of the things. You know, whenever we have an election year, you're going to get a lot of this is what you're going to find. And not just from the presidents who are running for president, but all the way down. It's turned into a lot of mudslinging nowadays in our country and a lot of just severe, harsh criticism. And not just from those running, but others too, the press and everyone else. It's almost to the point where it's just discouraging election years because of all that goes on. And we're going to see a lot of this, a lot of slander. There's a lot of slander, a lot of gossip, a lot of false witnesses. People saying one thing about another person about this or about that. You know, I think it's sad in our country we've got to the point now where leaders can lie and don't think nothing of it. Someone calls them out, and you know what? They say, okay, and they move on. And then 2 days later, they're lying again, another lie. And folks, they're not gentle, obviously. They're severe. They're harsh. Someone who is gentle is not going to run someone else down. They're not going to be harsh. They're not going to be critical. Now, there's a difference between stating facts and saying, hey, this is what someone's done. Okay, I believe in that. You know, if someone has a track record, or if they've done this, then yeah, they did that. That's what they've done. But there's a difference between stating facts and then just being severe and mean and cruel, slander, gossip, and things like that. And so someone who is gentle will not be that way with their words. Also, obviously, they're not going to be that way physically either. They're not going to be out there brawling or fighting and starting fights and attacking people and creating problems. You know, all that's the wisdom of the world. Folks, that's not wisdom from above. That's the wisdom we find in the world, which is basically saying, exalt yourself, lift yourself up, defend yourself. And if it means running someone else down or ruining another life, that's fine as long as you take care of yourself. And that's what the world teaches. Bible says, no, we should be gentle in our words. Also, another thought here is someone who's gentle, they're going to avoid harming others. They're not going to want to harm someone else. They're going to do their best not to harm somebody in any way. Now, the word gentle is interesting because it does mean to be moderate, to be patient. It basically, not to be severe. You know, there are a couple ways. Well, there's a lot of ways you can hurt people, but let me just give you two interesting ways. You know, you can hurt people out of anger. And we think of that one a lot, you know, out of anger. You know, you can be angry with somebody, and you can say something either to them or to someone else about them out of anger, just to hurt them. And that can happen. And someone who's gentle will not do that because they're under control. They're moderate. They'll care for others. They'll be concerned for others. Also, here's another one. Did you know you can hurt people out of joy? Let me explain this one. Have you ever watched sports? And occasionally you'll see a team win a championship or a big game, and I've seen them pile on top of each other, and I've seen people get hurt. And they're in celebration. And someone gets hurt. Not on purpose, but someone gets hurt. And there have been occasions where someone's been hurt bad enough where they couldn't play for a while. Well, someone who is gentle will pay attention to that too. That's what gentleness is. It's understanding. Not just going out living with reckless abandon, but understanding, hey, I could harm somebody. I got to make sure I don't harm somebody. Making sure that my words are chosen wisely, that my conduct is correct, because I don't want to harm my family member. I don't want to hurt my spouse. I don't want to hurt my children. I don't want to hurt my friend. I don't want to hurt my brother or my sister or my mom or my dad or anybody else in my life. I don't want to hurt them. I want to be an encouragement to them and a blessing. And so someone who is gentle will consider those, and they won't do anything that will harm somebody else. Let me give you an example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we'll look at beginning in verse 51. Luke chapter 9. And in verse 51 it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has come to come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." Okay, look at this passage here. Let's consider a few things. Notice the Lord is going down to Jerusalem. This is his last time, and he's heading that direction. And as he's going through Samaria, which already was an issue because most Jews wouldn't travel through Samaria during this time, as he's going through, he decides he's going to stop over in a village, and the village won't receive him because he's going down towards Jerusalem. You know, it's all the politics and culture and everything else mixed in. And what do James and John want to do? They don't want to say, should we just go and reprimand them? Should we tell them they're wrong? No, these men said, should we destroy them? You want us to call down fire so the city can be destroyed like Elias did? Folks, that's harsh. That's severe. Now, we're talking about two apostles here. So let's not think we're above that, okay? If they can think that, then I'm sure we can think that too at times. And we may get angry with somebody. We may get upset at somebody. And if you'll notice too, their anger was because of the way that the people rejected Christ. I don't know about you, but it angers me sometimes the way I hear people talk about Jesus Christ. And it upsets me when I read of some of the things people have said or done, or the outright, I guess you say, opposition to God in general. Almost mocking Him, making fun of Him. Very bold today in our society. This is where we got to be careful. Okay, because the flesh and the worldly wisdom will say they deserve what they get, let's forget them, or different things like that. No. Someone who's gentle is going to say, okay, we'll move on, but you know, we'll let the Lord deal with them. See, James and John reacted, and they wanted them to be destroyed. Now, they didn't have the power to do it on themselves, so they had to ask Jesus for the permission. And Jesus rebuked them. But you notice, even in his rebuke, two things in his rebuke. First, he rebuked them for the way they were going to treat the world. He said, no, you're wrong. I've not come to destroy them, but so that they could be saved. By the way, anyone who's opposing the Lord, they need the Lord. That's the problem. And we should pray for them, witness to them, and encourage them. And if they won't listen to us, just keep praying for them. And that's the problem there. So he said, no, don't destroy them, or don't seek for them to be destroyed. By the way, the direction they're heading is already for destruction. All right? That's the direction they're going. He said, pray for them. Or he said, that's not the reason he was there. We should pray for them. But notice his other rebuke for the apostles. Even his rebuke for the disciples was gentle. He very easily could have really rebuked these men for being that way. Now, he told them they were wrong, and he set them straight, but he didn't embarrass them. He didn't humiliate them. You see, he was gentle. That's something we find about Christ throughout his whole ministry. He was very gentle towards people. He wasn't harsh. He wasn't severe. And that's really the challenge for us this morning, okay? That's the challenge for each of us, is that we want to be gentle in our behavior and in our conduct. And wisdom from above, that wisdom from God, will lead someone to be gentle. Now, anything contrary to this is of the world. Right now, I can tell you that. Anything contrary, anyone that's harsh or severe or that's opposite of gentleness, that's of the world. And that's the wisdom of the world. So we need to look to the Lord if we want to be gentle. All right, this morning, you want to be gentle, you need to look to the Lord. Make sure you're saved. But once you're saved, look to God. Learn from the examples of Jesus Christ. That's what they're there for, so we can learn from them. And then, of course, we need to yield to the Spirit. God has given us the Spirit in our life to empower us, comfort us, encourage us, direct us. Yield to Him. Your will, not mine, is what we need to do. And then we need to be gentle. Be gentle. And if you ever find yourself not being gentle, okay? If you ever find yourself being harsh or critical or severe, then that's when you say, Lord, I need to just get right. Please forgive me. And help me to be gentle with people and gentle with others. You see, when one is gentle, they're going to be able to fulfill Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Someone who is gentle will be able to fulfill that verse. And I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill that. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You know, there are some animals that if I came across out in the wild, I would flee. But the dove's not one of them, all right? If I saw a dove, we walk out of the church, I saw a dove, I wouldn't turn around and run back in the church. At least I don't think so. If I saw a lion or a bear or something sitting out there, I probably would. But the dove is a gentle creature, is what it is. And that's what we want to be in this world. We want to be gentle. And so let's be gentle at all times and with all people.